Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
A radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am.
How did your holiday week go?
It was all right.
Well, I hope everyone listening had a good Christmas holiday, whatever you celebrate. I hope it was good. And the one thing here is that we have one film left on our Christmas Horrors Marathon. And, Ian, we took this was like a last-minute thing because I was waiting for something new to pop up. You know, like there has to be another Christmas movie. You know, we didn't want to go to the back, to the backlog of stuff, back catalog. But, no, we had to go to the back catalog. We had to do pull from the back of a film that came out a year or so ago, and like it was crazy. I was talking to you like there has to be like some another Krampus movie or something stupid, but no, nothing. The Hanukkah movie with Sid Haig didn't come out, so I don't know when that's coming out. It's probably sometime in either next week or sometime in January, but that was weird that didn't come out in freaking December. But, yeah, no Krampus movie, no killer elves movie, nothing out of the ordinary. So we had to go, and this is one, actually, Ian, when you sent this, like, you know what? You know, I wanted to do this on last year's marathon, but there was so many other films to choose from, and that one was kind of hard to find at the time. And now you can, of course, it's on Amazon Prime and all that. So the film that we got this, the closeout, and it makes sense, honestly, because it is family gathering around, feast. And anyway, the film on topic tonight is Mercy Christmas. I think it said it was 2017 when it was released, but I know it came out like around this time last year for certain. But Mercy Christmas is the story about Michael Brisket, and he works for this company or this corporation, this big corporation, and he's good with numbers and bookings and setting the facts straight and all these, he does all the paperwork, basically. He's really on the ball when it comes to paperwork. And his boss, everyone's having this Christmas party and everyone's, doing, all this stuff, and here he is crunching numbers. And his boss, he wants him – what was it, Andy? Andy is his boss. And he wants him to – there's this big-time deal. And he asks Michael, you're going to have to work overtime to get this. And, of course, Michael agrees. And he has to work through Christmas to do it. And he is also – wanting to do his own little Christmas party, but no one shows up. except for, well, he gets the books, and then that's when he talks to Cindy, who is, you know, the technically like the receptionist for Andy, and Sydney comes to the Christmas party with Michael's Christmas party, and there again, it's just him and her, and he's starting to get, you know, sort of butterflies towards her, and they do like Secret Santa, they do drink eggnog and just all kinds of stuff, and you know, he's there by himself, and his mom is on a cruise, and they start to part ways. And Cindy decides to ask Michael if she would want to come the following day to her parents' house and eat Christmas dinner with her family. And, of course, you know, Michael accepts it. He also takes his book of numbers and all his paperwork with him. And that's when we're introduced to Cindy's family, which, you know, she has her grandmother, or they call Granny, her father Abe, her brother, and then like her sort of friends with benefits in a sense, but he's like, you know, someone that's tried to hook up with Cindy and like they were sort of dating, but she doesn't really like him that much and gets on her nerves. Like he's always wanting to try to hook up with her, or date, or say like he's a part of the family whenever, you know, they kind of don't like him, but he's just there. And then we find out that her other brother is Andy, the boss of Michael. And they just sit around and, you know, eat dinner and everything's going fine. And then they pass eggnog around and Michael drinks it. And we come to realize that this family is no ordinary family. And instead of a Christmas feast, it is a Christmas feast with human body parts. They are cannibals. And so it has Michael, another girl, and another guy that they kidnapped, which you see earlier in the film. And this, Cindy's mother died, and so this is like a time-honored tradition, and it's all on her shoulders to basically do everything. But they don't want to kill, Andy doesn't want to kill Michael because Michael has to do the numbers for this big, you know, this big thing. And so he's in a rut. And so, it just goes on from there. And overall, the movie, as I put it, it's the best of probably what we watched for this marathon. Not saying that it's a good thing, but it's just like it is the better film of everything, of all the four movies we watched. It's the best one of the four. It does an all right job with what it's trying to do. It's trying to be this horror, you know, comedy. It doesn't really go more on the gore. I mean, there is a few gory moments, but it's more, you know, just more on the sort of slapstick side a little bit, but not like too slapstick, because it's like Andy and Michael's like sort of bickering back and forth, like you do the numbers, and he has him wrapped up in Christmas lights, and he has the wiring of the Christmas lights like tucked underneath Michael's shirt or sweater. And it's plugged into an electrical cord and plugged in. And, like, if he doesn't start doing it, like, if you don't do any work, Michael, and he hits the on button, on switch of the electrical cord and starts shocking Michael. So it's like a running gag back and forth between them two. Michael, he's an okay character. He does kind of grate on your nerves a little bit because it's just like, okay, I get, you know, of course you're in this dire situation, you want to get out, survive, but it's like he just like doesn't really, you know, go, he's not that great of a character. And then the other guy, like after a while I was like, okay, the one that was like selling tickets, I wasn't really the biggest fan of him either. I was like, why doesn't this character not die? I mean, but it makes sense towards later in the film. But he got on my nerves too. The girl, she was okay. She's here and there. I thought there would be a little bit like of a sort of a love interest between Michael and the girl. It seemed like it was going that way because of everything that happens a little in the film. But that kind of gets swept under the rug a little bit. And then it's just like, again, it's like an everyday normal family. You know, just like it's Christmas time, we're all the families together, and just they're doing normal things. It's not nothing out of the ordinary for them. and like they're going to church, they're doing all this other stuff, you know, just like getting ready for the pie and getting all this stuff together of what parts they need to make like certain desserts or appetizers or the main course. And it's just like normal conversation. Then you have the one brother bring his lady friend over, who's a dispatcher for the police office. And like, of course, Andy and I forgot what his name was, like Pat or something. I don't know. You know, just the two brothers bickering back and forth, and you know, they kind of go nowhere a little bit. You know, like, oh, why? You know, it just. But over, you know, like I said, it's an okay watch. I mean, it's fine for what it's trying to accomplish. I mean, I was sitting there watching, like, what does this film feel like? And there was another film that we discussed on this show that has the exact sort of same setup, but not cannibals, and that was Sick for Toys. I don't know if you remember that one, Ian, but that's the one where he goes basically to a girl's Christmas dinner, and then she wants him as his, like, play toy, where, like, they're in the shed.
Yeah.
So it's, like, very similar. Yeah, it's very similar to that, but not the cannibal aspect of this one. And then it was like, I was thinking of like how the family acted. I was thinking of Secret Santa. But again, like this one was fine. I mean, after a while, it was getting a little bit like, okay, move on. You know, it's a little slow, get to the next thing. And then I wouldn't really say they played it safe. I mean, there was some okay moments, but you know, with like, between the Michael and the one character, what happens to him and towards the end of the movie, that was interesting. You know, they had some okay moments there. But overall, I mean, it's not, like I said, it's the best one of the four. Again, it's still not saying much. I mean, it was fine. It was serviceable. It had some decent moments, but it could have been a little bit better with a little bit of tweaking. But again, like I said, he kind of, you know, they didn't want to overdo it. I'm assuming, and these still made a decent movie. It's not a bad watch. It still has its moments. It's still a little enjoyable, but they could have done a little bit more with it. It would have been a little bit better. I mean, it's still okay watch. Ian, your thoughts?
I liked it. I mean, for what it was, it did get a little monotonous a little bit, and but the main character had the best name for a cannibal movie.
Yeah, Michael Brisket.
I was like, I kind of liked how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was funny. But yeah, it did. I thought it, you know, did pretty all right. I just wish it was kind of a little bit more gory, especially when the ticket gag. I was like, I was expecting some to actually see it, but you only see like blood splatters, and I was kind of.
I mean, there's a little bit, but not. It's not gratuitous. I mean, he played it sort of safe enough where it's not like in your face. But it's like it's part of it is there. You know, I mean, you do see a body part do get removed, and it's not like straight on you see it removed. It's like in the background, in a sense. You know, it's just it played it safe.
I just I don't really. The only character I kind of liked was the dad. He was the only one that kind of that and what was that blonde girl's name again?
Cindy.
I totally blanked out on her name. I like those two characters. They were the only ones that seemed like decent actors. The girl in the that was trapped with Mr. Brisket. She was too deadpan for me, and I get that that's what, you know, her character, you know, was supposed to be dark and brooding, but it just, even her dark and brooding came out, like, completely emotionless, and I was kind of thrown off a little bit
And then the other guy, the ticket guy, he was over the top.
Yeah. I was glad.
Like way over the top.
Yeah. Just, I think the acting was either underperformed or, you know, a little too much. But I did think, like I said, I did think Cindy and the dad were the better ones in the film.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't too... at least Cindy wasn't too, like, annoying. Like, the brothers were all, like...
overbearing.
Know. Yeah. And trying to get him to do the numbers. And it was, I was like, okay, I got it. Let's just get this and move on. I don't need, like... this is only an hour and, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, they really kind of relied heavy on the, you got to crunch numbers. I mean, that was just like the underlying thing. Like, okay, you got to do this, you got to do that. And they do the whole lights thing, and it's just like, you know, it got like, yeah, but let's do a little something else. Let's see some more, like, you know, making stuff, you know. Like, they only do a little bit of that, you know, when they do, like, the kidneys and all that, and they're trying to do, the, of course, like, the mincemeat pie and what they do with that. I mean, I was, like, wanting to see a little bit more of them do their, you know, family stuff. I mean, you barely got most of that, and it was always, like, Michael or the girl, and they were in the basement talking back and forth, trying to, we got to get out. Oh, please let us go. Please let us go. Don't hurt her. It was like, I want to see more of the family aspect. I mean, they did do that a decent amount, but there's, like, again, I'm enthralled with this family and doing this whole time-honored tradition, like, the whole thing with the brothers and the girlfriend. And, like, your mother was like that, and then look what happened to her. You know, she became part of, you know, everything works out with her. Why doesn't it work out with this one, you know, when the brothers are fighting over the girlfriend? And then, like, I wanted to see, like, Cindy, you know, do more with in the kitchen. And you barely even got anything with the granny, you know, hardly. But, you know, just the whole church thing.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. So there's moments of, like, where it could have went a little bit more, just, like, a little bit more, you know, again, I'm not saying bloody or gory or anything, just, like, a little bit more fun with the family, in a sense, and they kind of just, that's what it needed, you know. I didn't need, again, it's not their, technically it's not their story, it's Michael's, but they could have added on a little bit more, made, you know, give it that extra oomph, you know, and... you know, like I said, it's not a bad watch. I mean, it's the best of this marathon, honestly, looking back on everything. And it's just like, it's fine. It is what it is. I didn't hate it. It kind of does drag a little bit in a few places, but not too bad. Because, again, it's just Michael and in the cellar and them talking back and forth about... you know, their life and what they do and, like, oh, you know this person, you know that person, you know, maybe this is, you know, you're alone, I'm alone, blah, 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 you know, stuff like that. You know, character development for the characters in the cellar, but, you know, you want to see more with the family. But, Ian, more thoughts on, you know, your opinion.
I think the funniest scene was the whole fur thing. Talking about how cruel it was, and I just was like, that's actually really kind of clever. I mean, it's mm-hmm. still a little forced in there, but I just thought it was a pretty funny joke that, you know, Cindy's all, you know, up in arms about fur and how animals are treated, but yet, you know, they got people trapped in basements. But I did like the whole, you know, it's just a normal family. Like, they didn't even, like, nothing was, like, out of place with it. It's just like, oh, just a normal, you know, just a normal Christmas. And nobody's like, I mean, there was a little bit of a psychotic episodes, I guess. But other than that, it was, like, I liked it. I liked the whole family dynamic and just fun. It was a fun little movie.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not perfect, but again, out of this marathon, I would probably say this one and maybe Night Sitter is like the top two, of course. I mean, but they're both okay in their own different reasons. But this one again is more, you know, again, I don't know, more easier to digest because, you know, again, you have
right.
Night Sitter and all the colors and sort of Italian vibe and Argento-ish colors and all that stuff. And it kind of gives a little, you know, here and there, and then the ending, you know, it's a little not that great. But this one, again, it meshes well with all it's trying to do. I mean, all the characters, you know, I mean, it is what it is with the characters. But it's an okay watch. I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was decent. And that's all I can say. I mean, it's an okay watch. It's one of the better ones that
yeah.
we've probably reviewed on the
you
know, over the years. I mean, of course, it beats out all the Krampus movies. Yeah, and Elf and all that. So it's one of the better Christmas movies, even though it's not perfect, but it's one of the better ones. I guess, you know, Ian, you got any final thoughts before we call this a show?
Not really. It was a pretty straightforward movie, so.
Yep, nothing really.
Not giving away too much spoilers.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I don't even think the Cannibal is a big spoiler because I think they kind of say that in the synopsis of the film, so.
They do.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, they should have not even done that. They should have been like, what's this family secret, you know, and then reveal the whole Cannibal aspect instead of giving it in the tagline, you know, or the you know, idea. But I guess you have to get people in there somehow. Like, oh, there's a mystery about this family. What is it? Around Christmas time. Like, oh, they're cannibals. So. Kind of, you know, I thought they should have played with that a little bit more, you know, instead of like, oh, we're cannibals. But again, that's just a minor pet peeve of mine. Just like, you should have marketed it a little bit differently. But like I said, it's an okay watch. It's decent. If you want to watch something different or you watched all the other ones, it's one of the better ones. I keep saying that. I'm sorry I'm repeating myself. I'm just sometimes go around in circles. But Ian, that's going to do it for our Christmas Horrors Marathon for, I think, the third year in a row. Kind of, you know, we probably could have talked more, but given our current situation, as mentioned previously with Blog Talk and all the shit's going on there, we got to cut things short, and we had to cut everything short, so we had to do four instead of usually two a show. But I think it kind of worked out in our favor because we didn't have that many, and we had to resort back to, again, stuff that came out, you know, a couple years ago. But we are going on a new year, so we have 2020 to look forward to, and it's going to be interesting. A lot of interesting horror coming out, and you know, a lot of monster movies. I'm noticing. I'm looking forward to. One thing I've been wanting is monster movies, and we're getting it. We're getting Underwater. We're getting Antlers. We're getting a few other ones, but sadly, the first movie we have to go through is the Grudge remake. So yeah, it's R-rated and it looks like it's going to be gorier or bloodier. But again, I do not know what to think of that one because the trailers didn't. But we'll have a review of it. That's in 2 weeks. So next week, again, I don't know because of the way our show is, we usually do end of the year. But with that being said, I don't know because we usually go a lot in depth with the end of the year, so we might not be able to do an end of the year retrospective, and we'll figure something out, Ian. So with that being said, Ian, I think it's been a good year. A lot of interesting stuff happened, talked and reviewed on the show, and it's been great. Another year under our belts, and hopefully 2020 brings us some good horror. So with that, this Christmas Horrors Marathon is finished, and bring on 2020. So we thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.
touch your skin.